Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Estonian Football Podcast. We are going to be doing our roundup of weeks 1 to 4, or the March roundup, I suppose. We're joined again by Martin Kaus. How are you, Martin?
I'm very well. I'm very well. I'm in a hot weather. It's like 21 degrees in Italy, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Beats being cold in Estonia still.
It's been cold, but I heard that the temperature is getting better. It's getting warmer, but at the same time, because it's Estonia, it's a very unique country, and I think snow is expected next week.
Love that. Yeah, it's nice here as well. It's like 20 degrees. And we're sat inside recording a podcast. Right. So we're basically doing a roundup of March, which we were supposed to do last week, but we're doing now. How have you found March, especially you, Martin, like not playing and watching it from the outside?
I think it's been a very interesting start to the season, because when we talk about the teams and how they performed, then there's been some surprises. Also, one thing is good that the weather has been perfect, pretty much perfect. There's always been some kind of a problem with the snow or with the rain or whatever, and games had to be pushed back. But so far this season, there's been no problems. Every game's been played, and I mean, if I look at the table, I don't think that any of us predicted the start that we've had. But I think that's what makes it more beautiful to watch.
I'd agree with that. Like with the so obviously Levadia atop, we predicted Levadia to win the league. They've played 4-1-4, but do we think that they've actually been dominant, apart from when they played Haju at the start of the year where they won 5-0? Other than that, they've kind of been, you know, they scraped through against Temeca, I guess a bit fortunate against Vapras. So are Levadia as good as they look on the table?
I think they are strong. As I said in my prediction video, that it's always harder to retain the title. It's always harder. Teams will be extra motivated against you. But again, yes, they haven't completely destroyed teams, but they do what champions should be doing, which is scraping those results to absolutely winning at the last minutes. I mean, that's part of football. And at the end of the season, no one cares how did you win. Did you dominate or did you win by a lucky goal or a lucky penalty? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's the 3 points that matter. That's why they are champions. And I think also against Vapros, it was, you could see it very clearly how strong their bench is. If the first team players, if some of them have an off day and they can't perform to their best level, then they have so many players that then can come on from the bench and just make a difference.
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember if it was the text into our group chat or not, but I remember saying, like, when Otto come on in that Vapris game, just completely changed it. Just it seemed like the style of play just changed. Just run at them, and they couldn't stop him. And it kind of that's how well it changed the game. One thing I want to say about Levadia is it seems like so we had, well, not we, but Jauka Lab had Daniel Parejo on. And they had Marco Cristal on, and both of them said that.
Sergey.
Oh, sorry, Sergey Zen, Zenyov. Fucking hell, Parejo. Yeah, sorry, Daniel Parejo is the son. Yeah, Sergey Parejo and Marco Cristal, not Patrick Cristal. And they both said that Wauna is kind of what holds back Levadia. Is that something that you'd agree with as well?
I wouldn't say it holds back, because statistics don't lie. He's been keeping the most clean sheets out of every goalkeeper, and I don't know how many leagues, how many seasons in a row now. There's definitely I can see there's room for improvement, but I think that comes with absolutely every Estonian player in the league. That's why our level as Estonians are maybe not respected in so much outside from Estonia. But I think he deserves to be Levada's number one. And in Estonia, it's very rare that teams sign a foreign goalkeeper. Paide did it. Again, I don't think it's like a ideal scenario for them because I would think they would rather use that foreigner, this one foreigner player on the field rather than on the goal. But yeah, of course, I think Wallner as well. I haven't talked to him personally, but I think his ambition is also to go abroad. And if you play in Estonia and after every season you still remain there, and maybe your hopes are that, okay, maybe now I can go and have a possibility to go somewhere, and it doesn't happen, it may affect you. And that's why I hope that those players that truly have ambition to go somewhere, that they can go as soon as possible.
Where do we think Levadia's weak link is then? Do you reckon it is like the goalie defense? Like, if anyone's going to stop him?
For me, it's defense. I think if you look at the goals they've conceded already so far, and if you compare it to the last season, for example, it's night and day. Yes, they won the games, but as if you want to ask me, like, what's the first problem, if you can say it as a problem, then it is the defense for me.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like I don't feel like there's a player this season that you look at and think he's going to score 20 plus goals. Like, Tambadou had a go up front, hasn't really done great. He scored that one goal which just flicked off his foot. You got Garrow, who I think is probably better than Tambadou. I think he should be playing more. I think he'd score more. So I'd probably lean more towards strikers. Okay.
I would put Otto up there. He reminds me of the left winger that Paide had, who was a flop at the end of the day. The name was Ayo Pong, or how do you pronounce it? Yeah,
Dave's
and
crap. Yeah.
he's quite similar. It's quite similar to him, but the difference is that Otto, from the first games, he looks like, okay, he's a bowler, he's ready, he scores goals, he's effective. So in my eyes, he's the most dangerous player. And I think for us Estonians, and it's perfect for me now to compare it, because I'm in Italy, where it's totally different culture, and the way players are brought up are completely different way. Us Estonians, if you look at our wingers, we don't really have a player that they can really take one-on-one. Like, straight off of my head, I would say Yakovlev is the one guy. But apart from him, we don't really have players that have the confidence or the know-how how to take one-on-one and actually go past two, three players and create a chance all by himself. And that's why foreigners are so good. That's why if you look at Levada's attack, they're all foreigners. They're not Estonians, all foreigners. And Otto is a perfect example of how to take players one-on-one and create something. And if he stays fit and injury-free, then I think he has the, potential to do 10, 15, 20-plus goal season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Moving on to Paida, they've won three, lost one. Lost one against Narva on a very dodgy Narva Trans football pitch, which led to Ivan Stojkovic having a mental breakdown. Are they title challengers, or is them playing on dodgy pitches going to be their downfall?
I mean, I was in Narva 3 years, and I will be honest with you, I didn't feel comfortable at all, even after those 3 years. But you somehow cope with it, and it's funny to hear how Stojkovic commentates about the pitch, because yes, you know that you can't play tiki-taka football in the pitch, So why do you even bother going with this plan? You have to play more straightforward. And you can't. Yes, you can actually criticize the pitch, because if you don't, then who else is going to criticize? It has to be brought up. It has to be out there so Narva and whoever is in charge can actually change it and make it better. But you can't rely, or you can't use it as an excuse, because you know the pitch. You've been here many seasons and it's not a surprise. So I don't, if you look at the table, then they're definitely title contenders, but they lack something. They lack some kind of an X factor, and I don't see him pushing Levadia all the way through.
Yeah, this is like kind of, we've always kind of said Paidas seemed to be like, if you compared it to like English football, kind of like that Arsenal kind of vibe where like they're there, but they're just not, they haven't got enough to push it over the line kind of thing. And you can maybe say like if they somehow managed to keep hold of Cissé, who could score goals, that they could push a bit further. But yeah, say, so, the games I've watched of them, I haven't been totally convinced. Like, yeah, like you say, they're winning, so that's all that's important. But from watching them, I think they probably will come second, but I just don't feel like they'll push Levadia all the way.
Yeah. So yeah, they lost a lot of players as well, which were quality, and the players they've got in, I don't think are as good. So we're only 4 games in, but I don't think Ryan Court's impressed. The Gambian strikers haven't had a chance yet, so to speak. Miller's been good. Martin Miller's been good. But he's a consistent player anyway. Yeah, but yeah, I don't think they can. I reckon they're going to drop down the table as well.
And I don't think Sama scores enough goals either. I feel like Sama needs to score the goals, and I don't think he does that. I think he should be playing down the middle and not pushed out wide. That's my opinion.
Well, yeah, again, he plays out wide, and he's not a player that takes one-on-one. He's not a dribbler. He likes to get the ball in space and just maybe do 1-2 and shoot on goal. So he maybe suits better in the center of the pitch, I agree. But if you look at the highlights against Narva, then he should have scored a couple of goals. So, I mean, if he would have put them in, then we would talk a different story, I think.
Do you think that Stojkovic would be there at the end of the season?
I mean, that's a tricky question. I mean, we should predict the first coaches to get sacked, but I don't know. I think the next games determine. I think if I mean, it's a possibility for sure, but who are they gonna replace him with? That's a
Yeah.
question, because by they usually get Estonian managers. And I don't think they would bring in another foreigner to coach the team. So honestly, it's 50-50 for me.
I think he'll walk.
Never.
I do. I think
Yeah,
around the
I do.
summertime, I think he'll walk. Yeah. Especially if it's not going his way.
I think
Yeah.
that if I don't think that coming second would be a disappointment for them. I think he would still
No.
remain at the club, but I think if he massively drops off into like fourth place or third or something,
Yeah,
like way off from Levadia, then I think he will be sacked.
they still in the cup? I can't remember. We'll check
Just
that another day.
confused look,
Yeah, it's
yeah,
fine.
confused looks around
Yeah.
from everyone, yeah. Yeah, I say because if they're
Yeah.
still in the cup, I can't remember if they are. Then they if
I
they win
wasn't
that, then that's another.
sure as well. That's why I hope maybe Nate can answer me.
I don't
Don't
know.
think, I don't know. I can't remember. Whilst we're looking, well,
They lost to Cal U.
okay,
Yeah.
that's right. I remember.
Yeah,
All right,
Ivan
then.
on point.
So,
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so top three is what they need. Moving on from Pineda, Flora Kauyu, who are usually in the top four, are they setting expectations? Are they below expectations? I think Flora are doing all right, to be fair. You know, they're using the young team, and I think they're performing well. Kauyu, I think, are poor. I don't get them. They have played Paide and Levadia, so you can use that as an excuse as well. But obviously, if you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best.
I would say Kailu has had a difficult start, because they played two times against Paide. One was in the cup. They won. They played against Levadia. But like Flora haven't really had any teams where they should be losing, you know.
Yeah.
They have had a quite an easy start, I would say, if you talk about the opponents. But after two games, they had only 1 point. But if you look at the table now, they're, I think, third place, which is crazy. That
Yeah.
just shows how tight everything is. And but I agree with you. I don't think Kalju has been that great. They've changed the team a lot, and that's the danger that happens. That was what Narva usually experiences when they change the team every season, and it needs time to get going. But I think if I look at Kalju, I'm pretty sure they will get better and better and better. With Flora, I don't see them growing as much as a team as Kalju, in my opinion. So I think long term, I still prefer. I think Kalju will still finish above them, but it's early days.
If you had a text from Okay Cool to tell you to say
I was in contact with him yesterday,
that.
but he's given me some insights. Yeah, and then, I mean, yeah, of course the start hasn't been great for the club. It's not a surprise. He doesn't have to tell me that. I know that myself. Everyone knows that, because Kylie wants to play for the title. But again, they have a very hardworking team. They have a very young team as well. So I'm still backing them long term.
Yeah, I feel like with Kauyu, it's a similar to a Paide kind of thing where it's kind of they're trying to replace Alex Tam. And obviously Promise David as well. I know he was mid-season last season, but like they haven't found someone to score the goals. That's why I say if you like look at like the Premier League highlights of when they had Temeke, that 2-2 draw, it's like a 14-minute long video and that's highlights. Like so many chances, but just no one to score the goals. That's where I'm at with Kauyu. Whereas with Flora, you know, they've got Sapanen, they've got Alaku, they've, you know, I think Poom Steyn's massive. I think that's what a player. Like it's like a cheat code. I feel like having Poom in that league is,
And Sapanen, yeah.
yeah, it's ridiculous. Honestly, it is. But so I don't know. I feel like I agree with you with like Kauyu would get better though, definitely. But I just worry about the goals.
And the goalkeeper. I don't like either of the goalkeepers for Kauyu. I think they're a bit, I don't feel like they have confidence. For whatever reason, they like seem to like let in the easy goals, if there's such thing as an easy goal, and then save the near impossible ones. So it's like, for me, I feel like they're really dodgy in the goalkeeper position. I don't think they're going to finish. I think Flora are going to finish higher than them based on what I saw. I know they've just played Kürassé and Kalev, which like. At the moment, like an under 10s team could beat those, but it's like I feel like Flora are going to like grow it, especially if they can keep hold of like Sapanen, Poom, like whatever happens in the summer, whether they ship them on, who knows? They'll probably get Creator back because he's not doing much abroad. So yeah, I think Flora would be a better team.
I think
That's it.
Yeah, perfect. But I the funny thing is that both you mentioned both Kalju goalkeepers. I know obviously Pavlo from Narva days, and back in the day he was the second choice behind Vaikla for half a season until Vaikla left. And also when Åland was in no, was it Åland?
Ireland was
Åland,
there,
Narva.
yeah.
Yeah, Åland
Yeah, he
was
was
there.
in
Yeah,
Narva, yeah.
and it's good for me to see, and like great for me to see how much of a progress has Pavlov done, because he was still this young kid in Narva, and you could see the potential. He was good with the saves, but he wasn't that great with his feet. But now I think if you look at Kalju's game, then he's more impressive with his feet. I think the way he just distributes the ball is amazing. So I think he's done really, really great then. And Henry Berg as well. I mean, I was in the same school with him. We played school football together. We won so many tournaments, and he was a bowler. So obviously, for me, it's like a lose-lose situation if one of them doesn't play.
Yeah.
But I think yeah, they're both like young goalkeepers. So it's really actually a little bit sad to see that one of them, his career is going backwards, because for that day you have to play when you're that young. You can't be on the bench.
I think it's a shame for Perk because he started last season really well, and then
He did.
he was letting in like you're saying, like loads of soft shots like going through his legs or through his arms, or and obviously he's club captain as well, and like I feel like, and I think I even said last year, like could he be like the third best goalkeeper in Estonia, like behind like Grünwald and Wallner and stuff like that. So it's quite sad to see that. I wouldn't say a drop off, but like I suppose a lack of confidence that's pushed into number two. But
Allegedly, Berg played through an injury before he was actually put on the bench, so Pavlov was playing. So again, we don't know the behind the scenes, but I think Berg deserves to play. But it's my opinion.
I'd rather Perk, but yeah, maybe he's still injured. Who knows?
Yeah.
Moving on then to let's talk about Narva Trans. Started pretty well. The midfield looks good, like young midfield, like decent like trio they've got in there with Maxim Kin. Was it Zhurilov and Agaptsev? Gabor's not done much yet, so when he starts playing and firing, I think they're going to be actually even better than what they have been right now.
It's a little bit surprising, yeah, that he wasn't featured the last game. Well, obviously he missed the first few games because of the suspension. In the cup, he scored a hat trick against Vipers. So you could say he still had a banging season so far. But yeah, the midfield is so young, and they have experience as well. Yiri Polyakov, they have many many players with great experience. I think for the first time they have a perfect balance between the experienced guys and the youth guys, the young guys, and yeah, I just really hope they can maintain the consistency. But as I said before the season started, I think this is the season when they will be consistent, because they have a coach finally who has been in this league for years, and he understands the football, he knows their positions, and I don't think they will have a massive drop off.
Yeah, I was just about to say they've got the coach who's got all that experience and like plays that shithousery football, like what Brexit ball, what some people call it, like hard to play against. And I also feel as well, like, because what we normally see with Narva is they sign 15 odd players and then at the end of the season they release 15 players and then re-sign like a whole new team. It seems like they've kept the majority, and it's obviously it's consistency, isn't it? The players know how to play with each other, and I agree. I hope they can maintain it. It'd be cool to see them, push for like a top four finish or whatever. I think they might just be out of reach of it, perhaps, but it'd be cool to see it.
It's strange because if you look at Kozłowski, then the way he played his football in Kuressaare is totally different. He played long balls, but if you look at Narva's game, then it's not that straightforward. They actually play like I don't want to say proper football, but you know what you I know what you know what you mean. What I mean, they try to play combinations, and I don't know why. All of a sudden, he plays that way. Maybe he felt that it was impossible with the players he had in Kuressaare, but I don't agree with that. I think he had good players for that to play like this in Kuressaare as well.
Do you think, say, going back to Narva's pitch, do you reckon they can use that as an advantage for them because they play on it more often? Or do you feel like it's still just, because if you're saying he does it, he likes to play it round with Narva, but on that pitch, it's not really possible. Do you think they can use that to their advantage?
I think they will use it to their advantage, but I think they will suffer from it mostly. A perfect example is the way Narva played against Vipers and the way they played against Paide, because against Vipers was in indoors in the proper artificial. Okay, the opponent was different, but it was so frustrating for me to watch the game they had against Paide, because even when Paide wasn't really pressing high and the Narva could easily pass the ball, you could see how much the players actually struggled to control it, to properly pass the ball, and they had so many easy mistakes. And I think that if they have a normal pitch, and allegedly they will change the pitch in the summer or this year, then the game will improve. I think they will play much, much better. And I think the pitch that they have right now, they suffer. They suffer. The players suffer. They can't play that well.
Yeah, I think when we first started talking about it, Ilya told us that that pitch was laid in like 1992, and it's just been the same pitch ever since. So yeah, but from what you say, it's yeah, being relaid in the summer. Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Ilya told me, yeah, when he grew up and he started playing training in Narva, then he trained on the same pitch, and that is a perfect example, man.
Yeah, this definitely needs changing. Moving on to surprise packages then. Vapras and Hajdu. Vapras at the moment seem to be doing like year by year. They have a good year, they have a bad year, they have a good year. So this could be the year for them where they might even break into the top four. Obviously, it's ambitious. Is it something they can do, or are we just enjoy them winning whilst they
Come
can?
on, let's be realistic now.
Yeah,
We
and I like
are serious people. We don't joke around. We talk facts.
yeah, and you said, are we being optimistic? We didn't say anything. You said it.
They've
Yeah.
definitely had a good start to the season. Obviously, the first game they took a massive L against Levadia. Then they won against Kalev, and Kalev, I think the gap is a gap against Kalev is now 6 points. Yeah, 6 points. And
Yeah.
because Harju has had 2 wins, and that's a big difference already. I still think Harju will end up at the last four clubs, and possibly still last three clubs. So the 6 points right now is a massive, massive difference.
Yeah, I think even like you watch Hajdu against Kalev, it was, they looked a lot better than Kalev, but then coming up against Narva, it was the huge difference in like the performances. Like Narva completely walked them away. It's so yeah, I agree that I think Hajdu will still struggle. That they just got to beat Kuras and Kalevs, and you could probably argue the Vaprases as well. I think they might be all right though. Again, I know it's early doors, but it's yeah.
The one
It's so.
the one key thing in my eyes, which benefits Harjo, is that again they got promoted, so they have this new enthusiasm. They're okay. We are showing everybody, and that's what Kure don't have. That's what Kalev don't have. That's what Papus don't have. They Harjo have more of this enthusiasm, and we want to prove everybody wrong. And that's why you can see that every tackle, they just celebrate it, they fight for it. And if they can continue this kind of enthusiasm throughout the whole season, not like with Nimba United, that you had this amazing spirit, and then after 10, 15 games when you were, last, you didn't care at all. You were lazy on the pitch. You stopped working hard. So if Harju can somehow manage that situation, then I think they will have a good season.
I say with Haryu as well, it's almost identical to the team they had when they were last in the league as well. So like a lot of them now have that year's experience. There's weaker teams this year as well. So they're going to be looking at games against Kalev, Kuressaare, where it's like we don't want to lose to them. And they've already, beaten both already, which is a good start because they're going to be looking at games with Flora, Levadia, think, okay, we're going to lose those. As long as we can beat those teams, we'll be fine. And they've already started well. And with Vapras, they'll just be mid-table. Like, they'll be fine. I
Oh,
don't think they're in any threat of going down at
that
all.
game with Temeke where they beat him 5-0, that really pissed me off. Like I was all in on Temeke like this year, and like it just come out of nowhere. I couldn't believe it. Like watching that, just watching Vapras, it was unbelievable. It was so good. Like just couldn't believe it.
I finished. I had a training session when the game was on, so I started watching it from the second half. And but I watched it back, and it's amazing. But just the way Vapor started, I mean, that's actually maybe to people that don't really watch that like focused, you can't really understand it. But the start of the game is hugely important. The first 5 minutes, for example. If you can get control of the game, if you can create something, the momentum brings you forward. And if you look at the way Upper started, they already had a chance in the opening minutes. I mean, it's just it pretty much just created this kind of a image to the whole game.
Obviously, it's their record win as well in the top
Yeah.
flight. Does that, or do you feel like that would give them a boost heading into like the next game?
I mean, they
Like
play
saying
against
like this.
they play against Harju now. And
Yeah.
if Harju manages to get something out of it, then I think Harju can they will maybe stick with Vapros for longer, but I think if Vapros wins it, they will just create a bigger gap.
Yeah, like, valet captain fantasy. Come on, hat trick, please. If we talk about Temeke, because you could kind of say you said like this was like a surprise thing, right? Would you say Temeke are performing under par or about right? Because like you look, they beat Kalev, which you could have expected. They had a spirited game against Levadia and then KalU, which they got a point out of it, out of KalU, and then absolutely thumped by Vapras.
Yeah, I mean, if you even look at the last, you mentioned four games. Let's look at five games. They had the last preseason game was against Vapers, where they won again, won 6-1. I mean, they completely destroyed them. And then, as you said, they won against Kalev. They had a really good fight with Levadia, 2-2 draw with Kallio. So it came just out of nowhere. But I think that's Estonian football. It doesn't happen in other leagues. All of a sudden you totally crumble. So again, I don't think they are in a massive pit, or they have some deep massive problems. I don't think so. Yes, the next game is against Paide away, so again difficult, but I don't think they are in a, such a bad position. I still think they have a will have a better season than Harju, than Gura, than Kalev. then, because they have two amazing strikers. They have an amazing goalkeeper. Yes, the defense is a little bit shaky, but again, I think they will just get better and better over the season.
Yeah. I did say when we were doing our predictions, I did say that I'd fancy Temeke to beat Paide, but I have gone for Paide, so but I was kind of in the middle of it, but it's just one of those games, isn't it?
Because Bash is suspended as well. So he got sent
That's
off, didn't he? So
why I don't like fantasy football. I have been avoiding English Premier League fantasy as well. People trying to bring me in, but for my mental health, I want to be away from it. But I got dragged into this season, and already I'm really struggling.
Yeah, me too. I say we'd like claim to be Estonian football experts, like rock bottom of the
Yeah.
fantasy leagues in like
I find it just
India.
like it turns you into like a different beast though, doesn't it? You like just want to casually watch a game and like you see like I don't know, like Bashir getting sent off and you're like oh, shouting at the telly, like, what are you doing, man? Come on, like
But you knew from you're like Stojkovic when he goes to Narva. Like you know what Bashar will do. You know that he will get so many red cards, stupid bookings, so it's a risk if you put him on your team.
Yeah, and as captain, but it's what it is. But say, I feel like, yeah, Temeke, I do like them. I think they are a half decent side, and yeah, they'll be all right. You say early days, but they'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Going on to the two basement clubs, the two teams that everyone wants to play, who have each other this weekend. How big of a game is that? Kuwait versus Tolima Kalev.
I mean, it's maybe the game of the season. Could be the game of the season. Well, of course, it's still early days, but I think it will be a close game. I still think Kuressaare will win, and if they do, Kalev, I think, is in big, big trouble.
Yeah, I feel like Kalev have to win. Yeah, if they lose five defeats to start the season, they've only scored one goal, which was opening day. Oh yeah, it's a definitely the game of the weekend, definitely for stipulations. And it's only the match week five.
It's not only like they have to win, but they've scored only one goal so far,
Yeah.
which is like really, really surprising.
And it was the centre back.
It was center back. Okay, they scored five goals against in the cup game, but I mean that was
Yeah.
just a weaker
That
team.
doesn't count, does it? Yeah.
That doesn't count. But it's surprising because they signed Usta, who is a decent striker. I was surprised that he went to Kalev in the first place, but I mean, they definitely strengthened the attacking side, and Swiatkowski is still there, who is good at creating chances. So, but I completely agree with you. This is a game they have to win. There's no other question.
Do you feel, again, talking about coaching replacements, Stojkovic first to go? Is Teemu Taino first to go? We've had talks with people where he's not a big fan at Kalev. You know, his style of play is not great. He doesn't seem to have a plan B. Seems a bit clueless overall. And I think it shows from the second half of last season to now. Even like as an Estonian football club, like at what point do you say, okay, we need to make a change?
I mean, I'm a big fan of F1, and Red Bull made a driver switch after two races. I don't know if after two games in football is the right time, but I think if you talk about coaches sacking, then I think Teemu is the first one to go, in my opinion, if he doesn't turn it around.
I can't see how they do. That's the thing. Like from watching the games, especially like the last two against Paide and Flora, they did nothing. They literally just like rolled over and let them come at them, and it's, I don't know, like, so even like Hayu and like gave a go against Lavadia, and Vapras had a go against Flora and beat them 1-0, and but like Kalev just seemed to roll over to them. He's like, oh, you're better than us, so we'll just go on and score as many as you can.
But I would like to put a little bit of a blame on Kalev's recruitment strategy as well, because for some weird reason, I don't know why, but they all of the experienced players, they sent them away. And even like Kalyuma is like a mystery to me. He's such a good player, and he pretty much held the team together. And even when we played against them last seasons, he scored so many important goals against us. In corner kicks, he scored. It was a threat, and just I don't know why, but maybe they tried to cut the salaries, cut the expenses. I have no idea, but that's what you get if you do this.
Yeah, so I don't want to badmouth Kalev too much because obviously I don't want to be banned from him. But it's yeah, the I don't agree with like what they've done in like the off season, like, as you said, you know, their recruitment, how they treated some players at the end of last season. So yeah, I don't know what the plan is for them, like if
And
they want to be in the S.
it's also the charging as well, isn't it? They're charging the parents and whatever to, I can't remember, there was an article, wasn't there, on Soccernet or something, that they were charging parents to send their kids to whatever, I can't remember what it was, but something like that, which upset the community as well. So it just seems like a pretty bad vibe there at the moment.
Yeah, they are in big trouble. That's unfortunately what happens every season to some clubs. Normally, Kalju has been a club with some kind of a stories written outside of football, but now this season has been Kalev, and they maybe changed their strategies, but the fact is that it hasn't benefited them on the pitch, which is the most important thing. And they need to change something really, really fast.
Yeah, I think that sums that up nicely. Moving on to just like some like other things, like talking about like, do you feel like there's been like a game that stands out this year, i.e. like Vapras winning 5-0 versus Temeca, or like any other one?
Yeah, I'd probably say that's probably been the one where I've probably gone, wow, you know, like. But for enjoyment purposes, I probably would say the Kalju Temeca game. That was 2-2. I thought that was a good game. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I would also. I don't want as well as basic answers, you know. but I would say maybe Narva against Kuressaare, which they lost the game, because Narva did an amazing preseason. Kozlovski was pissed, was angry that they didn't lose a game, and then season started. They drew with Flora. They won against Vapros in the cup, and then we thought they will keep going, and then all of a sudden they lost against Kuressaare. So it was, I think, on par with the Vaprus dominance in Tartu, just because Narva was in such a good form, and we all expected them to destroy, and then Kuressaare came and did the job. And also, who scored? It was Lip, with all the scandals, you know, with
Of course it was.
Kuressaare.
Yeah. I don't think
Crazy.
it's Estonian football if there's not a Kuressaare scandal.
I mean, if we talk about scandals, there's been so many incidents already this season. I mean, the first game, Vaprus at home against Kalju. It was Kalju's first goal. Would you say it was over the
Yeah.
line or not?
Yeah, I think it was a goal.
Nah, I don't. I'm not saying it because I
Yeah,
played for Vaprus.
you still got your yellow tinted glasses on.
But no, but you have to, like, normally I would say yes, it was, But we've now live in a world where there's been so many incidents in world football where it looks like it's over the line, but from the side, like on top of the ball, it's not over the line. You know what I mean? It's still hugging the line. And now for the referee to say that I'm 100% confident that it was a goal, it's impossible for him to say that. And I think if I heard it correctly, I think Cowper, I spoke with Cowper about it, and it was I think he was warming up, and it was the side line referee would said it was a goal. But Cowper stand next to him, and it was fucking impossible. I'm sorry for swearing, but it was impossible to see from that angle. So it's crazy for me. You can't call it a goal.
I feel like Estonia doesn't have, like, they have technology, but I don't feel like they have the right technology to have VAR in the league. Like, everything's like when they check it on the cameras, like, it's as if they're watching it on the YouTube stream with us and they're just zooming in. Rather than having actually someone having multiple, you look at, I say, well, I don't want to compare it to like the top five European leagues because that'd be stupid. But like you look at, they've got hundreds of cameras scattered about the stadium so they can catch the offsides, you know, they can catch where the goals go in. Whereas Estonia's got, you got the goal here and then the camera's 50 yards away. And then they zoom in to like look at what's going on, and you can't tell because the camera can't pixelate it. That's why they need to, like, if they want to take VAR seriously, they just need to like invest money, 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 and get more and more cameras in so
Well,
shit like this doesn't happen.
what game was it? Was it the Narva game where there was meant to be that sending off, but they couldn't check it because it wasn't working?
Oh my God, it's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, let's be clear. The whole game, 11 against 11, Narva deserved to win. Much better side. Vapros was really struggling. They did score, but they had no chance. However, if you look at the start of the game, this is crazy for me, because the VAR was working. And I spoke to the players that played the game. The VAR was working. As soon as the referee went over to check it stopped working. So the referees were standing there for a couple of minutes waiting for the network or something, I don't know, for the signal. He didn't get it. So he told the players, like, VAR is offline, I can't make a decision, let's continue. And before he whistled, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't before, I think they played, and after like five seconds the game was continued. They got an info that VAR is back. And then one of the Vapros players said to referee, okay, now VAR is back. Could you please go and now watch it again? And the referee said, no, because the game continued, I can't go back. And what's mystery to me is that the VAR stopped working exactly when the referee went over to watch it. And it was again working when the game was continued. So it's not a coincidence. It cannot be coincidence. There are some shaky things happening.
Do you agree with, did you see the article whether that referee said Polak said that he was favouring Livadia? So he stopped putting them on Livadia and Flora games.
It was Yuri Fischer's
Yeah.
statement. Yeah, I did read it. It was surprising because I thought only the players can be in a blacklist, but it turns out referees can also be there.
Yeah, that's do you feel like then, I don't know what I'm trying to say with this, but like Polak sees everything as perfect and that, like, you know, the VAR broke, but it's like, no, it didn't. Like, everything's working as it should be, you know.
I mean, listen, I'm not blaming Polak. I don't think any of us can blame him, because we don't actually know
Yeah.
the reason. It's strange that in so many situations, like, we have simple mistakes that shouldn't be there. Again, I don't know if why would Polak favor Wapros in the cup. Okay, he's good friends with Burdakov, but still, like it. He I know Burdak, I know Polak is also, he likes what Wapros is doing. All the fans and all the how the club is structured. So it's just sad. And I mean, there's so many things wrong with Estonia football, like starting from media side as well, because we've had so many players who have reached a milestone. Like, for example, Kauber reached 150 games, but there was no post from Premier Liga about his achievement. But when some other Flora players or someone else reaches 100 or 150 or 200, their immediate post, and we don't respect every player. And you can't say that you forgot. I mean, it's impossible. It's possible to forget these things, and it's just sad side of our football.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can, us in England can keep up with stats of players in Estonia, I'm sure like the people at the top of the leagues can find out when someone's played 100 games, 200 games, and just give them a pat on the back for it. So, yeah, I know what you mean. It's just like they don't care about the teams down the bottom as much as they do as.
Yeah, the bottom
So, why would
six.
you?
Come on,
Why would
the
you?
bottom six.
Yeah.
Again, I don't wanna mention the person out of respect, but one of my friends had a brilliant idea that he presented to whoever organizes the 100, 150, 200 game prizes and stuff. And he told him that maybe it would be nicer and more prestige if the player would get like a reward or some kind of a, not just a post on Instagram, but actually some kind of a sentiment, thing, and then Ainsalu reached, I don't know, 200 games or whatever, and he was presented on the pitch with this beautiful in frame, this picture of him and the number and the clubs he played for, and it's great. But he was the only player that got this. But other players who have reached milestones, they don't get nothing. So again, we did it just for one player. Why we did it? Why did we just make it for one player? I don't know. It's there's so much we could do to make our league better, and we don't put effort into it, which is for me, it's sad to see.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no, I agree.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that wraps it up. We had a brief chat about March and what have you. We're into April. There's a load of games in April. So the end of the
and
month
there
should be
and
a.
And the
Yeah.
roller coaster continues. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. We got five games tomorrow. Yeah, and it's going to be a good one just to. Yeah, see what happens, I suppose, and see how the table changes and what players come through. And yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I think if the league continues the way it's been going so far, then we will have a, I think, fantastic season, and very, very interesting as well. Obviously, as a Levadia boy growing up, it's good to see them up top. But I think for the neutral fans, it's if we can keep everything tight and they don't go out, make like a huge gap to others, then it's even more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, everyone
I
likes a
agree.
title race and a relegation battle and whatever. As long as, yeah, if we can get that, fantastic. But
I
yeah,
think the games in April are a bit more closely matched rather than it being top v bottom. So we might actually see it be a bit more closed up when we come back in a couple of weeks for the April roundup.
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So that wraps it up. Again, thanks for joining us, Martin. Enjoy that Italian sun. Keep winning as well. Keep winning.
We are in a great streak. We won every game and lost one of them. So we are in a good role, but the problem is that we don't really come closer to the second spot because they are winning as well. But we still have 6 games this season until the playoffs, and hopefully we can make it there.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, good luck. I'll be banging.
That would be amazing. And then it's summer as well.
Life's,
It's soon will be maybe 30 degrees.
yeah,
Going out with
life's
a
good.
t-shirt. I mean, life is blessed.
Yeah, cool.
Nice.
But see you in May
See you in
or end of
May.
April, even. Yeah, whenever it may be. Yeah.
Oh, no, it is April. Yeah, ignore me.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.